lesson 5 in our workbook. Hopefully, you have your book filled out. You've looked at these references. It's on page 12, and the title is Be Strong in the Lord. I realize that you could look at these lessons and say, well, this is something that you could teach to a teenage class, or whatever may be the case, but in our Bible study, we have a good mix of individuals who have recently obeyed the gospel and not too long ago, and folks who have been members of the body of Christ for a good number of years. And so these are things that we need to learn, or if we've already learned them, we need to be reminded of them. This will help us to grow. That's our overall theme in this quarter, is to grow in the Lord. And so this lesson is dedicated to being strong in the Lord. It's quite easy from time to time to grow weak and to get weary. And there's a number of reasons that we could probably give as to why we get weak over time. If someone were to ask you what causes a Christian to get weak and then perhaps eventually fall away, what would you suggest would be some of those reasons?
Neglecting the assembly.
Failure to study the Word.
Failure to study. What else causes an individual to begin to grow weak and discouraged, maybe even eventually fall away?
Lack of worldly influences, I guess, around them to overtake them or to be more powerful than they are, stronger than they are.
That's right. Tugged in a lot of different areas. I think about Matthew 13, the parable of the sower and the seed that fell among the thorns. Thorns came up, choked it, that is not profitable. Talked about the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. A lot of things that hinder us from growing and hinder us from being strong. I tell you, we don't know how many years we have. It may be that those that are young have a lot of years ahead of them. And it may not be that way. But the point is that we've got to be strong if we're going to... It's a lifelong commitment. If we're going to endure to the end... Remember the Lord stated in Matthew chapter 24, that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So we've got to endure into the taking of our life for as long as our earthly pilgrimage goes on. Paul stated to those at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, to be what?
Strong.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so the first one that he talks about is that God has always expected His people to be strong. I've certainly been impressed with that as I get ready for the third quarter study in July to think about God's people in the Old Testament. And they were people just like us. They weren't superheroes. They weren't people that didn't have trials and tribulations and didn't have families that tugged them out into the world and so forth, led them astray. Remember Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 11, what was his downfall? Women. Solomon loved many strange women. Right? It lists all those people. And they turned his heart away from serving the Lord. And so he had family, right? People that he had married, his immediate family, that turned his heart from serving the Lord. And so these were people like us. These prophets, you think about the task that the prophets had as they went to various people and kings and individuals or groups of people and to cry out against them, this is your wrongdoing. This is what you're doing. This is what's going to happen if you don't straighten up. You think that took courage? So God has always expected His people to be strong. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8, what was the instruction given?
Keep every commandment.
Yeah, now, let me ask you this. In comparison to the nations about them, the other people outside of the Jewish nation, was Israel in the minority or the majority? They were the minority of people, right? God didn't set His love upon you because you were the most of the earth, but you were fewer than the other peoples. So you think about it, they left Egypt, going to the promised land by faith. They didn't know where they were going. They hadn't been there. God had told them this is where you're going to go, but they had been there before and occupied the land. God said, I'm going to drive out these enemies before you. How many nations are listed? Yeah. I'm going to drive out these seven nations before you. You're going to occupy the land. They were going to pick up and go. That took courage. And he's telling, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid as you go and do this. Their enemies were going to outnumber them. Well, what can we learn from that today?
That they're going to be stronger than us in that respect.
Yeah. Sometimes, that's exactly right. Sometimes our enemies are going to outnumber us, right? Sometimes we're going to face things that we think that there's no way that we can do what God would have us to do. But we've got to remember what God has always told His people, be strong. Not always easy, but be strong. And there's a number of reasons as to why we ought to have confidence in that. I try to remind myself the saying, I don't know, you know where I heard this at, but it's a good saying that me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. You just got to remember that. Greater is He that is in you than what? And he that is in the world. As Joshua was about to replace Moses in the leadership of the Lord's people, what charge did God give to Joshua?
Be strong and courageous.
Strong and courageous. How would you, if someone were to ask you, what is the difference in being strong and being courageous? What comes to mind? How would you describe that? Also, there has to be a difference. The Bible uses the two words.
There's a lot of strong people that aren't courageous, and there's a lot of courageous people that aren't really strong. I mean, strength is the ability or might, whereas courage is having the heart or the soul to face adversity or fear.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. We may be strong in some areas, very weak in other areas. We may be strong enough to hold fast, but at the same time not be courageous to stand up. I think in a lot of places, that's what is lacking among God's people is gumption and backbone. Now, I don't have anybody in particular when I say that. I'm just saying in general that it's hard sometimes to be courageous. And here's Joshua. You think about the shoes that he had to fill. The people, here was Moses, this great deliverer of God's people. The people had observed that God did these miracles by the hands of Moses and Aaron. And now Joshua, Moses is dead. And now Joshua is commissioned to take the people on into the promised land. That's big shoes to fill. I think about elders and others who are in leadership positions. That's not always easy. But yet, we've got to understand that God purposed for there to be leadership, right? And that leaders and all others need to be very courageous. The New Testament Christians must also be strong. Someone read for us, if you will, 1 Corinthians 16:13.
Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong.
Some versions may read different. Watch ye stand fast in the Lord. What's that next phrase? If you have a King James Version, what's that next phrase? And some of them may be worded a little different. Quit you like men. What does that mean when the Bible says quit you like men? Now, that word quit is used differently than the way that we use it today. When we think about quit, we think about stopping. But really, what's he talking about? Quit you like men. Be strong. Be courageous. Be brave. Quit you like men. Means act like men. Right? That's what he's saying. You're not talking about the male gender necessarily, but grow up. Have backbone. What happens from time to time, there's no way that we can be strong in the Lord if we stay a baby for the rest of our spiritual life. Just can't do it. We start out as a baby and desire the sincere milk of the Word, right? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. But we can't stay that way. The Hebrew people evidently had done it. Hebrew Christians, whom the Hebrew writer wrote, he says, you ought to be teachers, but what happened? You need to be taught. You're not capable of teaching someone else when you should have been. I don't know what all the situation was, but we need to take note of that, to do what we can to grow. And listen, there's not a person one that is responsible for my spiritual growth at the end of the day than who? Than me. I'm not talking about father. We know fathers have to teach their children and so forth, and it's important for the church to teach, but you've got to take the bull by the horns, and you've got to be responsible for your growth. If I don't grow, it's not your fault. Alright? We can place the blame a lot of places, but if I don't grow, then I need to look at self first. Sometimes we don't do that. What do we try to do? Blame others. Well, they didn't cause. We can help one another to grow. We can give the opportunity for individuals to grow, but you've got to grow. Go ahead, Lord.
We have a great example of that in the 1 Kings 13 on the prophet out of Judah. He was strong. He was doing exactly what God told him to do. He spoke against Jeroboam and the altars there. Then he turned around and took the word of man. He took the word of the old prophet. Instead, he knew what God told him, and then he failed from it. And many people read that and they're mad at the old prophet because the old prophet lied to him. But the responsibility falls back on the man of God out of Judah. Obeying God instead of taking man's word. We have many men out here today that tell us many things. And it's our responsibility. Make sure we do what God says instead of what the man says.
Good point. Excellent point.
I think that's another place that courage can be applied. You have to have enough courage to stand up and say, I'm the person who put me in this position, not you and not somebody. And that's hard sometimes.
That's right.
You have to do that in order to go forward.
And there's, all of us want to grow. Anyone exempt from that? Is there anyone that does not want to grow? Sure, we all want to grow. And part of that is to be able to be honest with ourselves, to take inventory of self. This is where my deficits are. This is where I need to improve. This is where I'm not so strong in. Maybe I'm strong in this area, so I need to give some. That's part of growth. But the point is, we've got to be courageous and grow. Be strong is a command of the Lord. I don't know what you might have put in that blank. Maybe you left it blank. But on a scale of 1 to 10, you don't have to answer out loud, how strong do you consider yourself to be? If it were a true statement that every chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and every church was as only as strong as its weakest member, how strong is this church? What would we say? Just something to think about. But God expects us to grow. Well, we need to think about our source, the source rather, of our strength. We're going to be spiritually strong. We've got to appeal to the right source. Wolf made the statement, a very true statement, that we're being told a lot of different things in the religious world today. And a lot of different things that people might suggest. Well, if you just come here, you'll be strong if you engage in this or that or whatever the case may be or the other. But we've got to make sure that our source of strength is right. Read Ephesians 6:2 and tell us what the source of our strength is.
Power of His might.
Yeah. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You'll never be strong by yourself. I like that. Never be strong by ourselves. In these next passages, you were to read these and then put a little note. No exact answer on these, but just put a little note as to what the source of our spiritual strength is. When I say there's no right answer, exact answer, what I'm saying is you might have worded it different than someone. But according to those passages, what's the source of your strength? Philippians 4:13.
Right.
Yeah. Very popular reference, right? I can do all things through Christ. Who or which strengthens me. Good job. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. What can be a source of strength? And I looked at that and thought, well, maybe there's a couple of things you could put in that blank. Yeah, my grace is sufficient for you. But then he goes on to talk about what?
Weakness.
Weakness?
In one area, perfect in his weakness.
Okay. 2 Timothy 4:17. The Lord. Know that hymn we sing from time to time, I know whom I have believed. I like that hymn, especially with this point. If I'm to be strong in the Lord, that necessarily implies that I have to know the Lord. Right? And we've got everything that we need to know to know enough to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I know that God is able. I know that God is willing. I know that He's capable. I know that God desires for all men to be saved. I know that God desires for me to make it to heaven. And so we need to know those things concerning the Lord. If He's the source of our strength.
God gave us all we needed to be able to do that even in the earlier times. You know, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Joshua was a couple of examples that you used. Every one of them that mentioned be strong mentioned keep every commandment I commanded you to be strong. Or do all according to the law to be strong.
That's a good point. Good point.
Anything that makes us depend more on God makes us stronger. And that's, I mean, he makes the point there that when he was weak or when he was sick, that's when he was stronger in God because sometimes these situations that we think that the world says is a bad thing, maybe is a good thing for us. If something causes us to depend more on God, then we become stronger.
Sometimes we don't look at it through the way that God looks at things. We can't see the end result when God can. Good job. Any other comments? The armor of God helps us to be strong. We've had lessons done on this, and some Bible class teachers have taught on the armor of God. I think Ray went through that study. When you read Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18, he lists this spiritual armor. But at the end of the day, the whole purpose of that is for what reason?
For our salvation. It's for our salvation.
So, our salvation?
Make us strong against the trials.
Yeah. No, that's what he says. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Some that do not use the King James Version, what's the word that is rendered for wiles in your version? Schemes?
Schemings.
Scheming? The New King James Version?
Well, that's a note there.
So, but that's the point. And here's what he's saying. We have to be able to withstand. We know that we're going to have things hurled at us. He talks about the fiery darts of the devil. We know we're going to have things thrown at us through life's way. We've got to be strong. So here are some things that help us to be strong. What did you list? What's your list look like? All those blanks.
You have to guard your waist with truth.
Okay. Truth.
Breastplate of righteousness.
Breastplate of righteousness. These are things that protect, right? Obviously, he's not talking about physical things. Makes that point. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so forth. The breastplate of righteousness, truth, what else?
Shield of faith.
Shield of faith.
Shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Helmet of salvation. All of those things help protect. But there's one weapon that he mentions, right? The sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? Indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Religious world, have y'all confused about what that might be? Now, they just read. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I made this statement before in a sermon that I did, but suppose that you had enlisted or whatever, the military, some of you have been in the military, they give you the weapon, and I know they've changed them along the way, but suppose they give you a rifle or whatever the case is, and they just throw you out there, and you've never had any training about it. Don't know how to use it, much less hit a target. How effective do you think you're going to be? Probably not going to last very long, right? So if this is our weapon, the sword of the Spirit, we've got to know how to use it. I've got to put the time into knowing this book to the best of my ability. Not to the best of your ability, but to the best of my ability. Your ability may be a lot more than mine. So I can't compare myself to you. Or the other way around, however you want to look at it. I think about what he talks about, the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Remember what he says about the Word?
Sharp and two-edged sword.
Yeah, that's right. Think about how he describes it. Quick, I mean living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Because this book does what physical weapons cannot do. What's he say? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of
soul and spirit.
Soul and spirit. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's power. And so we've got to be able to use our weapon. What part does prayer play in our being strong? We don't need to overlook the importance of prayer as we try to be strong. Casting all, we've already talked about that, I think, last week. But casting what? All your
cares
upon Him. Well, how do we do that? Making your supplication be made known unto Him. Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 6. So here's some examples, point 4, of some strong Bible characters. Greg is doing a super job on Bible characters this morning. You need to make plans to come to every one of those if you can and listen to that good class. Daniel and his friends were strong boys. Careful about that word boys. Am I playing at it? Meaning there that might not be accurate to it. But read Daniel 1, verses 3 through 21, noting how strong Daniel was. How strong were they?
Strong enough for whether we can take care of the key to the king's delicacies that was given to them.
Yeah, that's right. Strong enough to refuse what was offered to them. Someone else said something. What was it? Daniel prayed as his manner was before in another chapter, right? And the princes tried to find occasion against him. But in this text, Daniel 1, 3 through 21, here it is. Here's the king's delicacy. We've got to prepare you, right? And he said, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with those things. That took a good amount of courage, right?
Good.
So from Daniel 3, the strength of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've just always been impressed with some of the statements that they made. But how would you describe their strength, their courage? Here they were before the king. And what, in the context of that, what did the king command? And what was the punishment for failure to obey? Yeah, the punishment was you'll be cast into a furnace of fire if you don't bow down when you hear all this music and so forth and worship this golden image that he had set up in the plain of Dura. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego evidently had a strong faith in God's ability to deliver them. Because they made this statement, look, God is able. It's not a question of whether or not he's able or not able to deliver us from the furnace. But here's what impressed me about these three. It's a statement where they said, if God does not see fit, in other words, to deliver us from this fiery furnace, well, what they say? That's it. We're still not going to. You think that took courage? To tell the king, I know that God's able to, but if God does not, I'm still not going to disobey him. Man, that takes courage to stand up to a king and say that. The king had the power to execute them. Oh, he was very angry about that, commanded the furnace to be heated so many times hotter and threw them in there. But God delivered them. But it took courage to do that. The Israelites of Ezra 3 and 4 were strong people. How were they strong?
They united as one.
Okay. They united as one. What were they going about to do?
Restore the
temple. Yeah, to restore, to build the temple, right? And they had enemies, people that wanted to weaken their hands, but they were strong and courageous. Even though there's enemies, what can we take away from that? What? How does that help us to be strong?
Their example that we have, you know, the influences that come upon us from the outside world, we have to ignore those things and keep our focus that we're to be strong in the Lord and we're to keep our path.
Yeah. That's right. They finished building the temple in spite of all the opposition that they had. The wall was built in spite of the opposition. The book of Nehemiah, the people had a mind ready to work. Do we have a mind ready to work? Suppose today, if we made application of this, suppose today we had so many enemies against us and folks in this community said, you know, those people meeting over there on Mill Street, they're a lost ball in high weeds. They're not going to make it. That place is just going to dwindle away. What do we do? Give in to that notion and say, listen, they're greater than we are. They must be right. They must see something that we don't. Let's just close the door. Not a chance. Well, we'll be strong in the power of His might, right? A lot of takeaways from all of these. How was Hezekiah, or David rather, a strong servant of God in 1 Samuel 17? What did he do?
Killed
Goliath, right? Faced his giant. Would have been no easy task. But here was this lad, this young boy. I don't know how young he was, but younger than most probably gathered there. Had eldest brethren. But here he was. Who is this Philistine to defy the armies of God's people? He says, you come with me with a staff or sword, but I come to you what? Say it again. Yeah, think about that. Where was his strength at? His source of strength, his courage. You come at me with these weapons, but I come to you in the name of the living God, right? And the God of vision and so forth. Defeated his giant. We can do that too when we have that mindset and that realize our source of strength. How was Hezekiah a strong example of courage and strength? 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7. It's not to say that he was perfect, but when he became king, what did he do?
Tore down went against the nation and tore down all their hindrances or the things that were coming between them and God.
Good job. Tore down those idols, those high places and so forth. Wouldn't have been easy. Samuel serves as a good example. What did he do? How was he strong when it came to Saul?
He just stood up and told him where he was going.
Do you think that Samuel did that out of hate or out of love? Out of concern? Out of concern not only for Saul, but in keeping the commandments of God as well. Nathan was strong when he said to David, what did he say?
You are the man.
Take strength and courage. And there's a lot of other examples that you could give. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. All those examples of people who had faith and you can find strength that they had. We'll have time for this last one. Number 5. Read 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4 and relate it to being strong. What does he say in that passage? Endure hardness, right? Good. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Endure hardness. We're going to have persecutions. The Bible talks about that over and over. The persecutions that God's people will endure. Even over in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what?
Suffer persecution.
That's in your lesson. Letter C. How does 2 Timothy 2:5 relate to being strong? If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. What would that have to do with being strong?
The guidelines you have to follow.
Takes strength to stay within those bounds. Sometimes we want to go outside the bounds, right? Like being driving on a road. Those lines are on there for a purpose. We meet all kinds of people that evidently don't know what the purpose of those lines on the road is, right? We might get outside of it. But the point is, we're restricted. Beloved, stand within these lines and you should be safe if you do that. Be saved and endure to the end. If you stay within these restrictions, these guidelines, these commands that I give you, that takes strength to do that. A lot of people say, make this pit stop. Come over here and rest, whatever. Get off the beaten path. Don't get outside those lines. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. What's he say when we are persecuted?
Blessed.
What's our reaction to that to be? I quit. I've had enough. Is that what we do? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, right? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. If you haven't had an opportunity to look at that, be sure to do that as Paul talks about the things that he went through. Shipwreck, hunger, thirst, beat, stone. Several things he lives. God was with him. And at the close of his life, he was able to say, I've kept the faith. I'm convinced, as we close our lesson, I'm convinced that if we do the things that God would have us to do, that at the end of our earthly pilgrimage, we too can be able to say, I've kept the faith. There's a crown of life awaiting me. I appreciate your good attention.